Holy Spirit, come with power in this place. Move among us now. Move my lips and my tongue to what you would have me say. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so today we finish our journey through the Old Testament minor prophets, which is apt because in a week, you will start a new journey as a church, and me and Helen will start a new journey. So, this week we're looking at Malachi. So what do we know about Malachi? Now, it's always a challenge with the Old Testament minor prophets, as I'm sure my fellow preachers would agree. So according to my Who's Who in the Bible, Malachi was written in the 5th century BC. The Israelites had returned from exile and the temple had been rebuilt. It was about 50 years after Haggai and Zechariah. The word Malachi means my messenger. So we don't actually know if the prophet was called Malachi or he was actually called something else. We do know it was a message from God. And in common with most of the minor prophets, in fact all of them, God wasn't happy. There are two things in the book I want to discuss today. I like to think of the Israelites as a petulant child. If you read the book, there's a big list of, you've done this wrong. And the Israelites say, well, what have we done wrong? A bit like mum and dad would say to a child, isn't it? So God's major grievances with the people were the laxity and corruption of the priesthood, and people cheating God by not paying him what was due. Now, my commentary also said there was something about foreign women, but we couldn't find much of a reference to that, so we ignored. If you do, there is a sentence in the book where God moans about people marrying foreign women. Okay, so now we're going to have our reading brought to us by Rini, and it's going to be Malachi 1, verse 6 to 8, Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10.
A son honours his father, and a slave his master. If I'm a father, where is the honour due to me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Will a mere mortal rob God? You rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
We're now going to sing a song called Oh, How the Power of Jesus' Name. And I'd like to invite you to stand if you're able.
Thank you.
So, in Malachi's time, religion had become something that was done out of necessity and not done with any real thought to praising God. People just went through the motions. They did the bare minimum. Now, as some of you might know, when I was a PhD student, I was a lecturer, and students used to come to me and say, "What do I need to do to pass? No, I don't want to get a first, I just want to pass." So they did the bare minimum too. And that's very much like what the priests were doing. They were trying to shove the God of the universe by, for example, they sometimes had perfect offspring in their flock, but they would give God the damaged one for the sacrifice, thinking he wouldn't notice. This clearly goes against God's law, but the priests allowed it and were complicit. And God's anger was just. How would you feel if someone gave you second best? God gave the Israelites the best, everything they needed, but they gave him what they thought they could spare. The scales didn't balance. So, what can we learn from this Old Testament book, where God's yet again having a moan? What does Malachi have to say to us in the 21st century? You see, sometimes we do a similar thing today. Do we really give God all we should? Last week we sang, "All to Jesus I surrender." But really, do we? Do we surrender all we have to God? Or do we keep stuff under wraps and under cover, hoping that God won't notice or doesn't need them? Do we share all our gifts with God? Or do we hide them? Or do we let other people do things? As I'm sure you know, it's my last sermon and it's Helen's next week. So my question to you is, what gifts do you have that you can give to God and to Langdon Baptist Church after Helen and I say, "See you later"? Are you a computer whiz? Do you have a call to preaching? Can you make tea? Do you like talking to people? And making tea is the most important one. But I have to say, as I was sitting there watching all those lovely children today, the Holy Spirit said to me, "They're in good hands. They're in good hands. You are in good hands. You may not always like it, and you may not always like to admit it, but you as a church have lots of gifts to offer. It's just whether you come in faith and let God use your gifts, or will you hide it? I hope you won't. My point is that everybody has a gift to offer, no matter how small or how big. And whatever we have, we should do our best for ourselves and for God. When we do not do our best, we let us down and we let God down. I'm not saying you have to be the best, just do your best. Let's go back to Mark's gospel, when Jesus in the temple sees the old lady, and she doesn't have a lot of money, but she gives what she can afford. She does her best. And Jesus says, because she gave her best, that will be better than all the rich people giving their loads of money, because she did her best. As I write in this sermon, I'm reminded how much I don't like doing readings because of my dyslexia. And even preaching is difficult for me. Sometimes I feel uneasy about it. But I know that God doesn't expect me to be the best. He just expects me to do my best. And as long as I'm sincere, that's all that God asks for. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you do have to do your best, because that's what God deserves. So, Father God, as we come to the end of one journey and the start of another, would you help us to think about what we have to offer God and what we can do? And would you help people to be bold and to be gracious in what they have to offer, and not to be scared, and just come forward and give their gifts to God and to Langdon Baptist Church. And Lord, I just thank you for the wonderful gifts we've seen on here today. And it's just really lovely to see how everybody's got their gifts. And some of the children have lovely gifts, which I hope will be nurtured by the church and by you in the future. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we sing the last song, we'll take up the offering. I invite you to think about and pray about what you might give to God as we start a new phase together. So again.